And it's been a beautiful worship to our God today. Would you bow your heads with me as we open God's word together? Dear God, I am so grateful that we come together to you, asking for you to speak once again, asking for your Holy Spirit, who knows exactly what each one of us are facing and the things that we carry into this place, that you are the one who speaks to us now. So we ask that in this space created for you, that we would hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a story, a fable that's been told and retold since around 1986. It's the first record we see it written. But the details do shift depending on which version you read. But the version I read goes like this. There was a woman who entered into an ice cream shop in Kansas City and placed her order for her ice cream cone. And when she placed her order and turned around, she was face to face with one of her favorite movie stars, Paul Newman. And his blue eyes made her knees buckle, and she had no words. She just stared at him. And she turned back around to finish paying for her order, and breathless, she walked out the front door and started walking down the sidewalk. But she realized she didn't have an ice cream cone. So she turned back around, and at the door, there he was again, and she had no words again. She was just, hi, are you looking for your ice cream cone? You put it in your purse with your credit card. Have you ever had an experience that happened to you that caused you to forget everything else that you were trying to do? Have you? Where suddenly, in that moment, or seeing that person, you just have no memory of what you were doing before? Or you're driving deep in thought and the exit is miles behind you and you intended to take it, right? We've been there before. We've had experiences that so capture our attention that all around us is lost to us because we're focused. Or as one song puts it, and the things grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. This story today is about that very experience. And it's a story of two disciples found in Luke chapter 10. I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to them. Now we notice Martha practicing this beautiful gift of hospitality. Martha and Mary and Lazarus, we know from other scriptures, lived in a town called Bethany outside of Jerusalem. And Martha's house was a place where Jesus often went. Martha, most likely a widow, allowed Jesus and his disciples a safe place to be able to experience comfort and grace. And this is where Jesus spent his last week on earth. Was in Martha's house. In John chapter 11, verse 5, it tells us something special about their relationship. It says in this story about Lazarus, when Jesus comes, it says that he loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. There was a special relationship that they shared. He treasured them in his heart. We know that Jesus went around doing good works and working miracles in all different places, but the scripture also says that he had no place to lay his head. Foxes have holes. He describes this itinerant healing preacher that was bringing the good news everywhere he went, but he didn't have a place to call his own. And so he was dependent on the hospitality and the grace of other people. And Martha opened her home to him. I'm struck with how very different service to Jesus can look. Because Martha and Mary and Lazarus were disciples of Jesus, and yet they didn't follow him from village to village like the other disciples. They allowed him to come into their home and experience their hospitality. Oh, there are so many ways that you can love and serve God, and we're all called to it differently. Isn't that great? So Martha and Mary were there, and they invited Jesus to come into their home. Now think about it. Jesus didn't just come alone either. He was like your college-age child who'd never came alone to your house to eat, or your high schooler who brought the whole troop with them. Hey, Mom, can I stop by for lunch? Sure. I'm bringing the whole choir with me, right? Or I'm bringing all of my team with me, or I always come with all my friends, or the whole Bible study group, or Pathfinders, they're coming with me. And suddenly, you're trying to find a way to make more food. Caleb and I have had this experience a lot, actually. We would be at our house, we invited a few people over, and then suddenly we're looking and it's 30 plus people there. Well, let's put on another pot for pasta. Let's make some more food. And so this is like Jesus with his disciples, because there were always people, more people than even the 12 following him. But this doesn't stop Martha. Come on over, come to my home. And Jesus and the disciples all came and found rest here in this place. Now, especially at this time, during this week, when the plot was developing to kill Jesus, this was a dangerous time to be associated with him. And we find that even that didn't stop her hospitality. Even that didn't stop her desire to have Jesus and his disciples right where she was. So she invited them to come in, and they were there in her home. Going on in verse 39, it says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. This is the posture of a disciple. This is someone who is following Jesus. To sit at someone's feet meant that you were learning from them. In Acts chapter 22, verse 3, Paul describes what he was doing before he followed Jesus, that he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. This was who he was learning from. And so Mary was in the posture of one who was learning from Jesus, discipled by Jesus, prioritizing all else, forgetting about all else and prioritizing her time with Jesus. Mary sits throughout this story. She's silent. She doesn't speak anything in this story. And yet I think she speaks loudly by her testimony of devotion. She sits, not allowing anything else to distract her from Jesus. She sits and she makes this strong impression of what it looks like to be a disciple. I think it's really important to note that in this time, in the first century, to have Mary portrayed in this light was significant. Women were considered unworthy of instruction many times. And here we see that the revolutionary Jesus knows no boundaries of gender. He invites her to be his disciple too. And he's sitting there, and not only does he allow her to learn, but he holds her up as an example of what we should be like in our discipleship later on. Jesus, who doesn't allow any social or gender barriers to distract him from allowing all to come to him. In verse 40, it goes on, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Jesus says here to her this beautiful response, but this word here that describes Martha is the only place we see this Greek word in all the New Testament, this word distracted, one time in all of the New Testament. It means literally in Greek to draw from around. It means that her attention is being drawn from here to here to here to here, all different places, all different spaces, instead of being able to focus on the one who is there with her. And she cries out, Lord, don't you care? I think we often find ourselves there, don't we? Don't you care what I'm burdened under? Don't you care what I'm seeking? Don't you care what I'm trying to accomplish here? Don't you care what we are doing for you, God? Look at what's happening. Do you see what's going on? The question here asked in Greek denotes that Martha is anticipating a positive answer. She expects Jesus to say, yes, go help your sister. She expects that Jesus is about to say, go to her aid right now. Martha is doing a worthy task, but she finds herself caught up in what others are doing right then, specifically Mary. In verse 41, Jesus responds, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. We're going to stop right there for a moment. I love how Jesus responds to Martha. He calls her name with such tenderness. He repeats it twice, calling out to her, Martha, Martha, gently and with love. Daryl Bach says it this way, discipleship sometimes requires that tasks be suspended while fellowship is nurtured. And I look at these two ways, two times Jesus says her name as an invitation to fellowship. He sees her heart is worried. He sees she's troubled, and he calls out to her, Martha, Martha. For some of us here right now, after experiencing this particular week, you need to hear Jesus calling your name twice with tenderness, with an invitation to fellowship. He calls out to us, Doug, Doug, Sarah, Sarah, Elizabeth, Elizabeth. He calls out each of our names with this tenderness, calling us, inviting us back, inviting us to fellowship, inviting us into a relationship with him that would allow us to be able to have the burdens and the things that we face reframed and restructured by that relationship with him. It wasn't the fact that she was serving. It was the serving and hospitality that Jesus so graciously needed and received. Her attention to detail, her care, it was a gift. It always had been. But it was that she was troubled. She had worry over the abundance of things she was trying to do. And secondly, she was worried about what someone else was doing right then too. To the former, we can sometimes get so caught up in the way that we're seeing things happen or the way that we desire things to go that we can miss the moment entirely. I remember distinctly at our son's first birthday party when, I seen this. So maybe some of you have seen this post that I'm not a Pinterest mom, I'm an Amazon Prime mom. That's like so me. But anyway, we were looking at what we could do and what we could do for the birthday party, and we had a bunch of different people helping us, and I remember distinctly this moment of invitation from God saying, just be here with his first birthday, because things, you know, so what, the little animal cookies are falling off over there, and this isn't happening, but we're going to be present here. We can have a list of things that we want to have happen, or we can have a way that we desire things to go. And God is inviting us into a different experience. God is inviting us to be present in where we are, exactly where we are. But Martha, this Greek word denotes extensiveness of her preparations, and she was perplexed with this inordinate amount of care. As one commentary says it this way, Martha's care and work were good in their proper season and place, but now she had something else to do. Something that needed her attention far more. She needed to be there with Jesus. Mary had this choice to be a good host or to sit and be a disciple. And she chose right there to sit with the Lord, to be able to gain the wisdom from his presence, to listen and to be close. It's strange, though, because Martha is a disciple and Mary is a disciple. And the point of this passage is not to say don't be hospitable. We know from all the rest of the scriptures that this is a gift. This is something highly valued. But I believe this passage is emphasizing that it is impossible for us to have all things equal. One thing must have our priority. One must be first. And so Jesus is inviting that there is one thing, one that must capture our attention above all else. And secondly, I think he is inviting us to be concerned with what we are called to do, not concerned about what someone else is doing at the moment. Both doing and being are at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. Both doing and being are at the heart of what it means to be a disciple. But in order to attend to what is most important, it often requires being in the presence of God in order to know what needs our attention most. So are there ways in which we can make things more simple in order to be more fully present? Are there ways in which your life can become more simple in order to be more fully present where you are? Verse 42 goes on, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Jesus doesn't say you've chosen the bad thing and she's chosen the good thing. Notice it's not a bad versus good here. It's there is one that is better right now. There is a priority to what is needed right now. In all the choices that we have, we must have priorities. The better choice is to begin at the feet of Jesus. The better choice, Jesus says, is to start right here in my presence because I long for you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all the rest, all the different burdens that we have on our hearts, all the different things that you have been stressed over, all of those will be added to you as well. We serve a God, like Donald Miller says, who does not need for us to understand him, but wants for us to know him. There are experiences like what happened this week that we don't explain, that we can't put words to, and that we don't understand. But yet we are invited to come and be in the presence of God and learn his ways and learn from his presence. Unfortunately, in churches and at conferences and at seminars, we're really big onto formulas. We're big into here, if you do it this way, or if you pray this way, or if you do it like this, this will be the result. This will be what you will experience. If you do this technique or program, this is how you can really, really get what you're looking for. I've found that it comes back down to a learning and a relearning of trust and faith, that it's not simple, it's not formulaic, but it begins in this time and this presence with God. And I come back to that again and again and again when I'm searching for words, or like this week, searching for presence and answers as I'm sitting with family, because all that we go through together affects each one of us. And so we learn and relearn this. It begins in the presence of God, that we are called to sit there in God's presence. There's no shortcut, there's no formula, but there is just growth that begins sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting with the one who longs to spend time with us and who desires relationship with us. The name of God that's used all throughout the Old Testament is Yahweh. It means I am that I am. I am the source of being, and I am being itself. I am being. Be still. Settle into the quiet of my presence and learn my ways. I love that God describes God's self this way, that I am that I am. I'm where you find your being. I am being for all of you. Come and be in my presence. Or like Jesus says it later on, Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. This is the way of Jesus, to walk with us, to teach us his ways, to teach us how to walk. And so I find myself coming back to that dependence again and again and again, that this life isn't about figuring out or having a formula, but instead being willing to trust when you don't see and being able to walk and to learn the ways of God. It's a lifelong lesson. It's a lifelong journey. I hear people talk all the time about, if I could just get back to where I was spiritually, or if I could just realize that, or when we went through that crisis, we sensed God's presence, but I just don't feel it now. We don't want to go back, but instead, there's this ever moving forward in trust. There's this journey that continues. There's this step-by-step, moment-by-moment invitation of Jesus to walk with him. For me, there's always something going on, always something to prepare, always some place to be, and God's continuous invitation is depend on me, trust in me, walk with me. I don't expect you to have what it is down there that you need, but I expect you to trust me now, and I'll give you what you need right now. That was what Mary was experiencing right here in this passage. She stopped all the activity, and she simply was present with God. All of this requires a willingness to risk and to trust as we stop our own activity to listen and to obey God. Heschel, Abraham Joshua Heschel, says it this way: our goal should be to live life in radical amazement. Get up in the morning and look at the world in a way that takes nothing for granted. Everything is phenomenal. Everything is incredible. Never treat life casually. To be spiritual is to be amazed. I find that when I'm in the midst of so much, to stop and to sit at Jesus' feet like Mary did allows me to experience life as phenomenal, to experience life as amazing. It's the stopping and being in the presence of God that allows the doing to have meaning again. It's the rests in the music that give the notes more pronouncement to our ears. It's that stopping in the presence of God that changes the course of our days, our weeks, our months. I have a lot of friends that are in the medical profession, and I'm constantly amazed and impressed, even as people are doing the same activities. You who are doctors or physical therapists or nurses, you're doing the same thing, but with people who are experiencing it for the first time, oftentimes themselves. And it takes such tenderness to be able to come to someone who's clearly fearful or afraid, and you've done it a lot of times, you've seen it, but they haven't. And so I admire this surgeon who comes to the patients. This is a very routine procedure, but this person is experiencing it for the first time. So she has this practice of coming to the patient and talking with them and grabbing the model heart and saying, you bring us your heart this way and we give it back to you, but better. It's going to be okay. Here's what we're going to do. And explaining everything that's going to happen again and again and again, hundreds of times, because they do it so much. I believe that's what Jesus does with us. You bring me your heart in this state. You bring me your heart in this state of worry and complexity and fear and anxiety, and I will give it back to you, but different, but better. And I will treat you with tenderness, though I know what's going to happen, and I know how to hold you and sustain you, and you don't yet know, I will treat you with the tenderness and the compassion that you need right now. And so Jesus does this with us. We come, we sit at his feet like Mary did, and we aren't left the same. So God says, come to me with your heart. When was the last time that you sat in the presence of God and it shifted your experience of what was going on around you? When was the last time you sat in the presence of God and it made you forget all that you had to do? When was the last time the dishes were the last thing on your mind after you were in the presence of God? Or when it allowed you to let go of the stress that you were facing? Or it strangely lifted the burdens from your heart? Is your life a bit out of focus today? Do you want to hear that invitation and heed that invitation of God to your heart, repeating your name twice? Come. Come to me, come sit at my feet. Do we find ourselves spending time on things that don't matter the most? They're not bad, but they're just simply not the most important. You know, it's hard to be relationship focused even with each other, isn't it? With God and with each other, we can lean towards doing rather than being, and we need both. So Mary's willingness to sit at the feet of Jesus and to spend time learning from him, and Martha's willingness to serve, are the dual callings of the disciple. Jesus says one comes first, and this orients your doing, but we need to do both, to be and to do. Disciples are called to both. As we start this new school year, most of the kids have started anyway, 2017-2018 school year, the call this school year is to be disciples like Martha and Mary, to focus our time on what matters most, to start out at the feet of Jesus, to begin with Jesus and then do his will. This school year, there will be times to sit and times to eat, and times to be the host and wait on others. There will be times to work, and there will be times to listen. There will be times to sit in silence before God in prayer, and times when we will serve even when we feel tired. We need to make this school year a time of setting priorities to be these disciples that we are called to be, to not allow things to distract us from our primary calling. And each and every time we have the courage to sit at the feet of Jesus as Mary did, each and every time we are there, we will find our hearts leaving in a different condition than they came. Not knowing how, not knowing what God does in our hearts, but knowing that God is with us and promises to. I was so inspired this week as I was listening to different interviews about the people that are going through Hurricane Harvey right now. One of them struck my attention on the radio. This guy was being interviewed and they said, with the oil refinery still out, how can you hope for anything normal? How can you hope for something to happen there again, for things to shift back to where you were? And he said, you know, we made it through Rita and we made it through Ike. And what I can tell you is, we'll make it through Harvey. We are continuing to walk forward. And I was so inspired by that. That's the Christian life, isn't it? We made it through that. Oh, and we made it through that. And we made it through that. We have to remember those. And now we sit at the feet of Jesus when we find our strength again, and we're going to make it through that. And we're going to make it through that. And I was encouraged and inspired by this memory that they have as a community of persevering and of surviving and of pressing on. And I long for us to be that kind of community, the discipling community that says, let me remind you what you've made it through before, and let me remind you of where you can find your strength. Come sit at the feet of Jesus and to find all that you need to walk as a disciple tomorrow and the next day and the next way. So I feel this invitation, even as I'm giving it to you, that God is calling us back, calling us, whispering our names, calling us to what's most important, calling us to remember what this discipleship journey can look like, and inviting us to take those steps moving forward.